You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 181 for November 12th, 2015.
Welcome back to where the running talk continues. I always struggle with how to start the show.
I know we should start trying to get creative and up with a different intro, but I'm not creative at all.
I was about to say that. You took my stuff there. All right. All right, let's get into it. What's the plan for today? We're going to catch up on what's going on with us. We're going to talk about some running news, kind of some of the top stories from this past week. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Ragnar Vegas, which you just completed this past weekend, right?
Yeah, just a couple days ago.
Yeah. So we won't focus too much on Ragnar in general. We'll focus on the fact that, you know, Vegas we haven't talked about before. Right. And then you did it as an ultra team. So we'll kind of talk about that aspect. Of the race that's kind of different for either of us. So we'll get into that later. Let's start with kind of catching up with what's going on with us. What do you want to share this week?
It was week two of my LA Marathon training program. I didn't necessarily stick to the exact runs on the specific days, but I did get a bunch of running in over a Friday and Saturday.
Ragnar, right?
Yeah, so that worked. I forgot to mention last time that it's that time of year again where I got my flu vaccine. Mm-hmm. So that's done. If anybody's going to get that, you should get it now.
I got my flu shot as well.
There you go.
So everybody should do it. That might save your butt down the line and keep you from being out from running for an extended period of time.
Yep. Yeah. And then weather-wise, it's actually gotten cold here, and it seemed like it happened kind of quickly. Mm-hmm. We'd been dealing with some warm weather for a long time, and now it is cold. Well, cold to us.
That's right.
So now it's like in the 40s. You know, that's cold. So, you know, kind of dealing with that. But it's been weird because it feels like it just switched pretty quickly. You didn't really have like that period of time where it just slowly goes from 80s and 90s to cooler weather. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like somebody flipped a switch. So,
right. Yeah,
trying to deal with that and figuring out like what do I wear to run in this sort of weather. So that's been a little weird. And I just bought some new running shoes. Yay! That's always fun. Because I run in the Brooks Adrenaline GTS. And so the GTS 15, which is this year's model, are now on sale like everywhere because the GTS 16s for next year just came out. So this is when I tend to stock up or buy, even though I don't need to replace my current shoes right now. I know that I'm going to want to replace them. I don't know.
At some point.
And so this is a time to get my shoes at a cheaper price. So.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You're super dedicated to the Brooks Adrenaline. And sometimes I just want to say to you, like, hey, try something new.
Yeah.
Venture out.
Sure.
But the flip side of that is you're super happy with that shoe.
Well, I have no problem venturing out and trying a different shoe. But then again, I have no problem with these, knock on wood, I've had no problems with these shoes. So,
I mean, you run a lot of miles.
Yeah.
Do a lot of races. You haven't really had any injuries.
Right.
Anything serious. There's nothing to lead you to try or to make a switch. I mean, you obviously do demos and try other stuff occasionally, but you haven't really
purchased. That's true. So sometimes I do wear other shoes, but not as much as these shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not opposed to trying other shoes, but I just don't have that push or that urgency to, oh, these shoes aren't working for me anymore. I need to try different shoes. So yeah. So I'll stick with these.
Yeah.
I'll stick with my go-to shoes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You're all stocked up, different colors, right?
Yeah. I actually think two pair of the same color.
Okay. So well, I mean, at least the one thing about the Brooks Adrenaline is it comes in a crazy number of colors.
Yeah,
it does. I mean, there's actually, six or seven different variations of it. Kind of the advantage of buying a shoe that's super popular that they sell tons of every year is that they make lots of colors. So, which color shouldn't be important, but, you know, just throwing that out there.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, that's it for me.
That's it for you?
Yeah.
Okay, on to me. I did the same thing as you. I bought some new shoes this week. Just like you, nothing really new. I bought a pair of Hoka Challengers, which is a trail shoe. I already have a pair. I just bought another pair because they were super cheap at Running Warehouse, and I really liked the shoe. And so, although I don't need another pair right now, I just wanted to make sure that I was covered for a long time to come. So I just bought them at a really great price. And so they'll probably just sit in the closet for a little while, at least probably a couple more months, and then I'll break them out.
Yeah.
Put them to some use, get them in the rotation. What else going on this week? Just going to mention, I mean, you were mentioning cold weather. I went out for a run, I think 2 days ago. Ended up being a day where I went out in the evening super late. It was about 10 p.m., which I generally run in the evenings a lot, but 10 p.m. was kind of late for me, and it was really cold into the 40s. Mm-hmm. I know, really cold by our standards, but
again, by our standards, that is really cold. So.
But it was cold. Had to break out. You know, it's kind of that time of year. Kind of break out some of the winter running gear. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't have to really break anything huge out, but I did get my vest out of the closet, my running vest, which is actually a Brooks. I forgot what they called it. The line that's super
like a nightlife.
Yeah, something like that. That's super reflective. I was, you know, safety first, running at night. But yeah, I went out for a short run, and it was pretty cold. There was 10 o'clock. There was nobody out there. I think I saw one person out walking their dogs, kind of like a neighborhood run. But other than that, I saw nobody. And I just had, it was just one of those days that you have that it just felt awesome to be out running. I really enjoyed the cold weather. I enjoyed not seeing anybody in a way. No, I mean, it was just kind of super peaceful. Funny. And I think it was, you know, one of those days where you just kind of needed the stress relief of being out on a run. So mm-hmm. it was just super peaceful, got to just kind of shed the stress away. The legs felt good. Everything just felt really good and clicked really well. So I just wanted to mention that because, you know, once in a while you do have these awesome runs. And I guess one great thing about it is you want to talk about it. And so this is where I can talk about that kind of thing. I'll save all the non-runners in my life from that kind of story and just pass this along to the runners. But yeah, I was super happy with that. So I'm actually, as soon as we're done recording this, I'm going to go try to recapture that exact same feeling and go for another run late tonight and see how that goes. So see if I can continue that on. And yeah, I think that's it for my week.
Okay.
All right. So let's kind of move along here. Just mentioned some races from this past weekend, some of which we will talk about. R&R Las Vegas, not R&R Las Vegas, Ragnar Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, did I write that down wrong? No.
R&R Savannah, Rio del Lago, Big Sur Half Marathon, Ragnar Trail McDowell, and the U.S. Half Marathon in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
which being in kind of Northern California, saw lots of friends and people we know posting lots of pictures from that one.
Lots of pictures of the bridge.
Yeah, let's kind of start with some of the top news. Not necessarily good news, but let's start with R&R Savannah, which ended up having some really bad weather.
Yeah, I guess it was hotter than anticipated. I mean, we're not talking about triple digits or anything, but definitely warmer than what was anticipated. And with the humidity, you know, race officials decided during the race that it would be a better decision if they diverted marathoners to a shorter course. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think a lot of marathon, I don't know at what point they diverted, but I know several marathoners ended up running basically a half marathon distance, mm-hmm. For that reason. So you didn't see any information as to like how many people actually were able to continue on the full or anything like that. Right? I didn't
find any specific numbers.
Yeah.
I don't think, well, the interviews that I saw, it was a competitor race official. And, I don't think at the time they even knew probably the numbers
and
anything like that.
Okay. And I know soon after a competitor group, who is the giant, I'll call them, mm-hmm. you know, behind Rock and Roll Series. Initially, they had said that they were going to be offering refunds to all those affected, but it looks like what's going to be happening is, I don't know if they're necessarily going to do refunds, but they're definitely offering free entry to any of their remaining 2015 races for those that were diverted, and free entry to any of their 2016 races. So,
yeah, they usually make good whenever there's an issue with one of their races, which, I don't know, a lot of times weather seems to be a factor, but they can't control that. But one of the advantages of them being such a huge race company with so many races is that it's very easy for them to offer that alternative of, hey, you can register for free for any other one of our races throughout the year.
And look, we have several.
Yeah, you have lots to choose from. So it's nice. The one nice thing about being a big company like that and running their races is that if stuff happens, that tends to be an option that they offer. Mm-hmm. And in the past, I think if there's ever been an issue, I think they've done refunds and stuff when needed before too, I think.
Right.
With some canceled races and
my
memory's foggy.
The details are a little fuzzy, but yeah, there's been something about that. And, you know, some more bad news, worse news. Unfortunately, a runner actually went down on course and did not make it.
Yeah.
And
unfortunately passed away.
Yeah. Unfortunately passed away. So that's always sad to hear.
Yeah. I mean, we hate hearing those stories, but they're important to hear. There is some risk in what we do. And it's also a reminder to kind of keep an eye on each other during races. Keep an eye for maybe a fellow runner that is in distress and in need of assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a reminder of that. I mean, like you said, it was definitely a warm day. It was definitely humid. From all accounts from the race, medical was obviously super busy.
Yeah, right.
I saw some interviews with some runners that said medical stations out on course seemed to be kind of full, and the finish line area seemed busy with medical, and obviously they had to make that course diversion and all that. So yeah, but that's a tragedy and very unfortunate. Then there was also a report of somebody else who actually ran the race that ended up passing away later on in the day.
Mm-hmm. I think once he arrived home, I believe, yeah, collapsed and didn't make it.
We obviously don't have any of the medical information on exactly what happened with either person, but regardless, a tragedy and but a reality and a part of the sport.
Yeah. Yep.
Other R&R Savannah news on a brighter note.
Yes. We'll end it on a brighter note. There's actually, and many of you may have seen it, it's kind of been making its rounds, but a police sergeant actually helped an injured runner across the finish line. So runner Robert McCoy fell about a half mile from the finish line, and then nearby police officer Sergeant John Kane responded quickly to provide aid. There were EMTs around who were able to evaluate the runner, and he was given first aid because he was, you know, scraped up pretty bad on, I think, like knees for sure, and even face, I think. It looked like
pretty busted up.
Yeah. So they were able to, you know, kind of clean him up, provide aid. And he was worried that he wasn't going to be able to finish the race, but the EMTs gave him the okay to go ahead and be able to finish the race, only if he was going to be accompanied. But I don't know if it was specifically by that police officer or like by somebody.
By somebody.
Yeah. So the police officer went ahead and, you know, started, I don't think necessarily running initially, but accompanying him, you know, through the remainder of the course. And then they ended up running through the chute together. There's actually a video of that, which is pretty cool. Running through the finisher chute. So he was able to finish his race. And then the next day, actually, the runner somehow, I don't know if they like exchanged, you know, information, but somehow found the police officer and actually gave him his medal from the race.
Right.
His finisher's medal. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Very cool. Kind of seeing them connect the day after or whatever that was.
Yep.
I still find it funny that, of course, like so many other runners, he goes down, he gets bloodied and scraped up, and his number one concern is, you know, whether they're going to let him finish the race.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the reasons was that he was, I think, running this race specifically in honor and memory of somebody.
Oh, okay.
So
that makes more sense.
Yeah, so it had a little bit more meaning than that. And I think the police officer was quoted as saying that he's now considering becoming a runner. So.
Oh, we've dragged somebody else into the fold.
We'll see. It's just as considering. So right. We'll see.
That's very different than actually signing up.
Right.
All right. Is that it for Savannah?
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to Disney Wine and Dine.
Mm-hmm.
Half marathon.
Right. What was supposed to be a half marathon.
That's right.
Another course that got changed or diverted? Diverted or shortened. From a half marathon distance down to 6.7 miles, I believe, is what runners ran. And from my understanding, it was either due to lightning or rain or some sort of course, some weather-related issue,
combination of the two, or probably threat of lightning, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And I believe that the announcement was made before the race that it was going to be shortened. I couldn't find a lot of sources that said that, but there was a couple that said that there was an announcement ahead of time that versus like mid-run or mid-race.
Yeah, lightning is always one of those that's one of the most dangerous weather threats that we have for races. And so can't fault them at all for making the change.
Right.
We've seen in the past races canceled because of lightning. So. Mm-hmm. All right, on to Big Sur Half Marathon. Not the full marathon, the half marathon, which is on a separate weekend.
Different course.
7 months later than the Big Sur full marathon.
Yeah, whole separate course and everything.
On the elite side, Alicia Barno was the men's winner in 103.04. I think he actually won Grandma's Marathon earlier in the year. And then on the women's side, which kind of made the news, Carrie Goucher, obviously super famous, super liked American runner, finished in 111.13. She's kind of getting geared up for the marathon trials. Mm-hmm. Going to be at LA next year, which will be running the marathon. But yeah, this was kind of her affirmation that she's on pace to be ready for that one, and obviously we'll have a very good chance of making it onto the team. So we'll look forward to seeing her
go for that
at LA. Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. All right, other one. This is not news. You just happened to.
I think it's news.
Is it? Okay,
we're making it news.
Okay, so
it wasn't released as news officially.
Right. So you sent me a screenshot from a website for a race. So this race is the Huntsville Marathon, which is in Utah, and they do something, or at least this year, I don't know if they've done this in the past, because honestly, before this week, I'd never heard of this race, but they have something pretty unique, is that they have it says new, so there's my answer on that one. It does say new. They have a Boston qualification guarantee or your money back. Mm-hmm. So you go run that marathon, you are guaranteed to get your Boston qualifier. There are caveats to that.
Of course.
There is some fine print. Number one is that you've never run Boston before, which is kind of weird. I don't know, to throw that one in there. And number two, the big caveat, which makes the most sense, is you had to have run within 10 minutes or less of your qualifying on a previous race within the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. You sent this over. I was thinking in my head, this is crazy, kind of weird. And then you read the fine print. You're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
And the first thing I did once I read that fine print was I just went straight to the website looking for their elevation profile, because in my head, okay, it just has to be a fast course. And if you look at the elevation profile, it makes complete sense because it does look like a very fast course. I think it's all downhill, basically. I think it descends, I want to say 3,500 feet or so. Trying to remember exactly what it was. But it's quite a bit of downhill for the first 20 miles. And then it kind of tapers off. But it looks super runnable, does look super fast. So it makes sense that they would think that, you know, hey, if you've run within minutes of your qualifying mm-hmm. time at some random race somewhere in the country, that you probably could come here.
Right.
And just because the course is so fast, you could get your Boston qualifier.
Yep.
So just mentioning it because I thought it was pretty unique. And you might find it pretty useful if you are trying to get your Boston qualifier and you did just recently miss it by, you know, within 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a great course to go and run a faster time. Beyond that, I really don't know much about the race.
Yeah.
It looks pretty.
Mm-hmm.
The scenery, and it looks, you know, it does look like a fast course. I didn't see many turns on the course at all. They do have a nice video on their YouTube page, or you can find it on their website, that actually has kind of the typical course run through in 7 minutes. You know, throw a camera on the car, speed it up, and you can see the whole course in 7 minutes that we see all the time. So a pretty good option if you are chasing a really fast time. Anything else on that one?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess let's jump into the main topic of the day. Ragnar Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You're back. You didn't decide to stay in Vegas permanently.
Nope.
No.
Not this time.
So yeah, you went out to Vegas to run Ragnar Relay as part of an ultra team.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about Ragnars in the past. Typically 12 people.
Right.
Two vans. When you do it as an ultra team, it's 6 people, 1 van. So if you do the math, usually the race is around 200 miles, 6 people, you're going to run around 30-ish miles.
Yeah, I think the total mileage per person that we had was 30.7 to 36.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so right in there. It's kind of mm-hmm. nice that it balances out for Vegas. We were talking about that.
Yeah, Vegas is mileage-wise is actually a nice one to do as an ultra, just comparing mileage to mileage. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
All right, so let's get into it. What do you want to tell us about Vegas?
What do I want to talk about? Well, first, we have pictures up.
Okay.
If anybody wants to take a look at that before I forget, because I might forget to mention that. So if you haven't already seen them, you can go to our Facebook page and take a look at those.
Now, I will say it's funny. If you do look at the pictures from the race, whether you look at our album or you look at somebody else's pictures, you might get kind of thrown off by some of the pictures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because the start line of this race is basically at a top of a mountain, a ski resort.
It's at a ski resort.
Where there's snow.
Yep.
So if you just see the pictures, you can see the start line. And in the background, it looks like a ski resort. It looks like lots of big, tall, green trees
mm-hmm.
and lots of snow all over the ground,
yep.
which is certainly not what most people would think of when they think of Vegas.
Not at all.
And then what even throws it off is if you see pictures from later on in the race, then it does look like what you would imagine Vegas, running in Vegas, you know, doing this race in Vegas would look like. So
right.
you can see
minus the strip. There's right. no pictures of the strip in there right. for at least, yeah.
So yeah, when you see these pictures in the same album, you almost want to think that, hey, I think those are a different race.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any
that's
sense to be here. But no, it's all Ragnar Vegas because that's just how the course is laid out. And yes, the course doesn't go on the strip at
mm-mm.
all.
No.
If you want the strip, you got to go do R&R.
Right, right. Although I could see the strip at night when I was doing my night leg, like in the distance.
Okay.
I could see it. So, I mean, because it's kind of easy to see
right.
if you're running in Vegas. Yeah, it's pretty easy. But no, you're right. It does seem kind of odd. You know, I knew we'd be starting at the ski resort. And so obviously it's going to be colder than, you know, regular elevation for Vegas. But didn't really think that there was going to be snow. I know a couple years back there was snow mm-hmm. there. I was like, you know, it probably won't be snow. But I guess it ended up snowing a couple days before we got there. So it was cold. It was really cold. So I was pretty thankful that I wasn't the first one starting us off. I wasn't the first runner, so but yeah, so you know, it was early start. You know, as an ultra team, you're probably going to be ending up running a little bit slower than you would be if you had 12 people. So, you know, we had an early start and we wanted to make sure that we didn't have to worry about, you know, cutoffs or that sort of thing, you know, and finishing in time. So we got up to the ski resort when it was still dark, and it was a little bit difficult trying to get into the parking area, you know, because there's all these vans trying to get up there and that sort of thing. And sometimes at the start, not just for this race, but for this Ragnar, but sometimes both vans try to head over to the start, you know, to like support there.
Right.
So then sometimes you have more vans than what you normally would have. But anyways, so, you know, we drove up there and we were a little bit worried about our first runner not making it out to the starting area in time if he waited in the van with us to try to find parking. So we sent him off with a couple of our teammates, and then I stayed behind in the van with our team captain. So we were trying to head over to the parking area, and then it just seemed like it wasn't moving. We're like, okay, let's just turn around and, you know, go back and try to find like a spot off the side of the road or something. So, which was a bad idea. Why am I telling you this? You'll see why. So it was a bad idea. We thought like, oh, that looks like pretty packed snow. Let's just go over there and turn around. Yeah, we ended up getting our van stuck in the snow right off the bat.
Of course. And race hasn't even started yet, you know?
Hasn't even started. So, you know, wheels are spinning in the van and we're just looking at each other. We're like, okay, now what? So hop out of the van. Obviously, I can't push it out of there by myself. You know, this is a, what, 15-passenger van or right. What, 12-passenger? I don't know what it is. It's a big van. So, thankfully, some fellow runners, without even, you know, saying anything, just came on over, and there's a bunch of us just at the front of the van, you know, pushing it out of there, and we eventually got it out. So, I just wanted to share that. So, it has nothing to do with anything my race itself. Race. Yeah, but it was just like, really? Okay, this is going to be fun. So, anyways, we did eventually end up getting a parking spot, and didn't make it up to the starting arch in time to see our runner, but, you know, walked that ways. And it was a pretty beautiful view, you know, just with the mountains in the background and all the snow and everything. But it was freezing. Everybody's walking around with, like, you know, blankets. And you can tell that some people were not prepared, including us, like, in terms of not having what you would normally have as far as clothing. So there's some people just wearing like a hodgepodge of like whatever they had brought with them.
Or everything that they had brought with them, basically.
Exactly. Trying to keep warm. So,
but that's pretty common with R&R. Jeez. I keep doing that. With Ragnar Vegas. You know, people tend to think Vegas and they think warmer temperatures, and then they, you know, either they didn't read up on the race or, you know, didn't believe it or whatever, and they get to the start and realize, oh my god, there's snow everywhere. This is crazy. So
I mean, and like, again, like, I knew it was going to be colder at the start, and thankfully we had another team member who was there before the race, and actually, you know, it was like, you know, we were in communication days before, you know, email and everything, and he's like, oh, you know, there's snow up there, and I had to wear gloves for the first time, and so it's like, oh, okay, I better pack more warm things. So that was helpful that he did that. So I actually skipped over the check-in process. I forgot. Not that I'm going to spend a lot of time on that, but one of the things that was unique for Ragnar Vegas is you could do, and you can do this for some of the races, not all of them, you can do team check-in the day before, so Thursday, and it was at Red Rock Casino, so off the strip, but they had it all, you know, pretty nicely laid out around their, like, pool and cabana area, so we were able to check in and, you know, get our bib and do the safety briefing, and there's a couple waivers that we had to sign that were actually different than what we've had to sign before. We all, six of us, had a print our name and sign our name about something about the desert tortoise, essentially that we knew that it was protected, and if we saw it, we were going to leave it be and not touch it and not move it and not feed it and not hurt it and not run it over or anything like that. So can't say I've ever done that for any other race.
That's a pretty unique one.
And none of us actually saw a desert tortoise.
That's a bummer.
FYI. Yeah. And then there was another waiver for two of our runners to sign. And I didn't really read that because I wasn't that runner. But it had something to do with, I think, safety on a specific part of the course. I think it might have been along a pretty major road or something. So something about being safe there. So anyways, but it was kind of nice to be able to check in day before. So then you didn't have to do it early on Friday morning. And this, I would consider this being like a pretty big destination race for Ragnar. You know, it's not going to be a lot of local people. I don't think it's going to be a lot of people flying into the area. So a lot of people are going to be flying in the day before anyway. So they're already there. They can check in the day before.
Right.
And they did have like special room rates for Ragnar participants at Red Rock. So I think a lot of people stayed there.
Yeah. For the early check-in thing, it tends to be usually people that come from out of town, because basically locals are, although you would, might seems counterintuitive. You would think, oh, locals can just run over there and check in, but you have to check in the whole team. Everybody has to be there. And if you're local, you're probably getting off work the night before, and, you know, you're probably
finishing up your stuff. Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, oh, I'll just go out there tomorrow. So it tends to be that the people that travel in and have that hotel reservation right there at the start that,
yeah,
that take advantage. But it's nice to get that out of the way the day before.
Yeah, it was nice to do that. So back to the start. So, you know, six-person team. So, you know, we ended up doubling up our legs or basically running back-to-back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like one person would be runner 1 and 2, essentially, and then, you know, 3 and 4. I ended up being runner 11-12, which I have never been the last runner on a Ragnar team before. So
so you were going to get to do the finish line.
Yeah, yeah. So I was excited about that part. The one part I wasn't excited about was that I get to just wait like forever until I get to run. You know, so you're just like antsy. And I always get nervous before any sort of race, like any distance. So then, you know, just like waiting until it was my turn, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm going crazy here. So, but I was pretty excited about being able to run into the finish line. So, so I was runner 11-12. So started at the ski resort. And one thing I do want to mention is, because you're at a ski resort and you got to run down to whatever elevation it is, it's a lot of downhill those first two or three legs. So if anybody does it as an ultra, take a look at that. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want the same person running those first couple of legs. So you can get pretty beat up doing that. So and then you're pretty much running, you know, where you would kind of, like you said, you know, think running in Vegas is like, you know, like more desert area and that sort of thing. So my first run or leg, I think started around like 2 p.m. I think on Friday. Mm-hmm. So, and
you're asking me, I wasn't there. I don't know.
Oh, that's right. So it was around 2 p.m. on Friday. So my first leg was 9.5 miles total. So that wasn't too bad. I mean, I think I've actually run that distance before at like Ragnar Napa, I mm-hmm. think, you know, just as a solo leg.
Exactly.
So I'm like, okay, that's doable, you know? So, and I kind of ran through, I think it was like some residential areas, a little bit of like commercial areas. Off in the distance, I could definitely see like Red Rock, you know, and canyons and that sort of thing. So that was pretty nice, but it was, you know, way out in the distance. We would get to that eventually. Not something that I could see at the time. It was somewhat cold during the day, colder than what you would think. The sun was out, so it looked like a beautiful day, but it was still kind of cold. A lot of people were having issues with breathing in that cold air, and like, so you could hear a lot of people coughing afterwards. So I was glad that I took a couple of buffs with me, mm-hmm. and actually used one
on for that.
Mind? Yeah, I didn't wear it the entire time, covering my mouth and my nose, but when it would get pretty breezy, I did that, and I think it helped because I didn't really have an issue with like my throat or my lungs, and a couple of other teammates were having issues with that. So there was a turn that I actually missed.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. On, I think it's the first time I've ever done that. At least that I can recall.
Neither one of us have ever gotten lost at a Ragnar.
Okay, but
or
I was,
missed a turn or anything.
And just disclaimer here, I was not the only one. There was a bunch of us. And we did miss it because we were following the person in front of us. So there was kind of like, I don't know what sort of a park or something that we were running through. And it had like a lot of, it was a sidewalk or that sort of thing, but it had a lot of like little switchbacks in it, mm-hmm. right? And then you're running like across a bridge and then by a bridge. And then we were running by and I had the feeling of like, oh, there should be a sign right there saying left so I can go across a bridge because it just looked like that's how it would go. But there was no sign. And I even stopped and looked around because I'm like, this just feels like I should go that way. I'm like, but there's no sign. And usually if there's no sign, that means just keep going straight. You know, like just keep going the way
correct.
You're going. So I actually stopped and looked and I'm like, did I miss it? You know, like maybe I was like into my music too much or something. And somebody had actually gone ahead of me, you know, the way that now that I know was the wrong way, but I didn't just follow her. Like I stopped and I'm like, okay, no, I don't see a sign. So let me not take the wrong turn. Right. And then, so I kept going and then we got to some stairs and I'm like, this just doesn't seem right. Cause there's like a lot of stairs. I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe I just didn't study my, you know, little map enough. And I looked back cause I know there was somebody behind me, but I couldn't see them. They're off in the distance. So I didn't know if they had followed me or not. So I kept going and then I got to basically like just a random parking lot. I'm like, this really doesn't feel right. So I pulled out my my phone and used the Ragnar app, which you talked about.
Yeah.
So thank goodness I had that because I could see on the other side of the parking lot, the girl that was in front of me, she had stopped and she was looking back at me like with her hands up and she was looking around and I had my hands up. I'm like, I don't know. So I pulled out my app and I was walking towards her so I could see exactly where we were and like where we went off course. And so we just missed a couple turns. So, I mean, we cut it short like just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But instead of like having to retrace our steps, even though I knew like where we had missed the turn, we were able to kind of just keep going and then join back with the course.
Right.
So again, that app was awesome for that.
It was a lifesaver for that one, really.
It was. Yeah. So, but it was just like, oh my gosh, like I've never, I guess I got lost, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh man, I've never done that with the Ragnar, but I don't know if somebody like took the sign.
It happens.
Because that's a place that they would have had one. Because it wasn't obvious to go that, you know, it's not like you would just like continue that way on your own.
Right.
You know, there would have had to be a sign there to tell you to go left. So I think somebody moved it, somebody hit it. I mean, stuff like that happens. So I was just glad that I had the app to be able to direct me. So anyways, finished up my leg and actually purposely ran a pace slower than what I would normally run, 9.5 miles, because I knew this is only like part one of three. You know, I'm going to be way more tired for my next two. I need to try to save it and not end up, you know, suffering even more because I ran faster this time. So finished up my leg and handed off to the next person and waited for it to be my turn again. So the interesting thing is, you know, I was runner 11-12, so I'm done, but we don't get to be the off van and go like relax or hang out or eat or sleep like you normally would in a regular non-ultra Ragnar, because we're always constantly going. You know, there's always somebody out there running. You got to get to the next, you know, exchange. So it's definitely different in terms of that. You have to basically just try to eat when you can. You sleep when you can, you know, because everybody's running at different times and there isn't going to be a whole set of like 4 or 5 hours where you're all going to be able to just eat and rest. So that's a tricky thing.
I mean, I think the eating thing has always been my major concern with it, because I don't think I can go from Friday morning to Saturday afternoon without a real meal.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess my personal plan would be I'd probably take a couple sandwiches or maybe some stuff to make sandwiches.
Right.
But I don't know if that'd be enough for me to get me through the entire race.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm famously bad at taking care of myself to begin with. So, which is why I rely on that actual, you know, that one or two meals, that the real big meals that you get to eat out with. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I had taken a couple of PB&J sandwiches with me. Mm-hmm. So I had one before my first leg, essentially, because it's not like we had time to go have breakfast. Right. You know, like we had like food in our van, but it wasn't like real food, if that, you know, meals. So I had that before my first leg. So then I had like one more, you know, for later. So, and then, you know, we had a bunch of bananas and I always do pretty well with bananas. So I don't even know how many bananas I had on that trip, but I had quite a few bananas. It's tricky. So, you know, I'm trying to time it and, you know, like when it's time for me to eat, it's not going to be time for somebody else to eat because they're about to run or they're on deck or, you know, that sort of thing. So it's just, it's a little difficult trying to coordinate all that. One thing I didn't mention, on my first leg, actually, when I finished it, I finished at one of the parking lots at Red Rock Casino. So not right by the hotel, but kind of just across the way. So there's plenty of access to food if you wanted it and that sort of thing. So when I was out running, a couple of my bandmates actually went and got some pizza for them, and one of them brought back their leftover slices of cheese pizza, which I actually ended up eating a couple of those right after, because I was hungry. You know, I'm like, what am I going to eat? I kind of want some real food, but we got to head over to the next thing, you know, and that sort of thing. So ended up eating a couple of those pizzas, or not a couple of pizzas.
A couple of pizzas. A
couple of slices
okay.
of the pizza, which tasted pretty good. Let's see. What else? So everybody's then running their second leg, you know, and part of that we're making our way. It's getting a little jumbled now, but we're not making our way through Red Rock yet. We're heading over towards like Henderson, which is what, just south of Vegas, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Where there's a lot of other casinos, of course. Green Valley Ranch is
a
pretty well known one. So, I ended up starting my second leg at around midnight, right around there. But being the last runner again, you know, everybody had already run. And so when they're back, they're like, you know, they change and they crash out. And I'm like, oh, I want to sleep, you know, but I couldn't yet because it's like, well, I'm next, you know, and that sort of thing. And at one point we're in the van and we're just sitting there and I'm like in the passenger seat and everybody else has just passed out around me. And so I need to make sure that I stay awake so that I can be at the exchange to meet a runner, because obviously I'm the next one to run. So, you know, I was like getting ready, I was ready to go, and I'm just sitting there and, you know, I'm trying not to be too loud because they're sleeping. But I was like kind of doing like that nodding off thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, wake up. Like, don't sit here and like fall asleep. And that person's out there waiting.
But midnight is actually not a bad time.
It's not a bad time
to run, because I think it's pretty easy to stay up till
midnight.
Right.
Versus trying to sleep like before and then run like at 3 or
right,
something.
Right, because I mean, yeah, you can kind of run at midnight and then you're basically, the rest of the darkness, you can crash out a bit.
Right.
You know, I think it's those 3
a.m. No, I agree.
That are tough.
So. Yeah, I mean, the way we had our pace file originally, I was going to be running that nightly like around 2:45, but we obviously all ran faster than right. anticipated for our first legs, so we were actually ahead about 2 hours for this for that time. So I was really happy that I was going to be running around midnight. Because like you said, I would have done a lot better just staying up to midnight and running than like trying to go to sleep between like 9 and 1 and then waking up to go run. So
now, were you guys texting when your runner was 1 mile to go?
Yeah, we were texting when we were about 1 mile to go, or if people were pretty good about knowing what their times are going to be.
Okay.
And then we actually had 2 runners who used the Road ID app.
Oh, okay.
And then sent, I don't know exactly how it worked because it didn't involve me, mm-hmm. but sent their link or something to somebody else's phone so that they could actually track where they were.
Okay.
So we knew they're like, oh, okay, they're you know at mile 8.3 and they're doing 12, that sort of thing. So you know how much time you have in general to get ready.
Yeah, because when you're doing it as an ultra, well, okay, at a regular Ragnar, you know, some of the legs are 3 miles, 4 miles, 5 miles. So it's real easy to kind of predict
right.
when people are going to be coming in from their run.
Yeah.
Because, you
know, there's only going to be so much variation.
Yeah, you can only yeah. run so much faster or slower over 3 miles.
Right.
But when you're doing an ultra and you're doing the back-to-backs and now these runs aren't 3, 4, 5, they're
12, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, yeah.
13, 14, I don't know, whatever they are. It's a lot harder to kind of predict when people
right.
come in. So I know a lot of Ragnar teams, what the runner will do, whether you're doing ultra regular, is when you hit that 1 mile to go sign, because there's always a sign at 1 mile to go, is they'll text their team and say, you know, I'm 1 mile to go. And then mm-hmm. at least the next runner knows, hey, I got about, you know, 7 to 12 minutes, depending on speed, till I got to run. So
right.
that kind of helps. But yeah.
Right. Yeah. Towards the end, I'd say the second half of the race, we were texting. If for the 2 people that, I mean, the 2 people that are using the Road ID app use that. And then the rest of us were texting at 1 mile to go. Which was something I hadn't done before because I'm like, I'm running. I'm like, okay, hold on. Let me text 1 mile to go. Okay, keep going. You know, because I can't really like, I guess you could text and run, but I wasn't going to try it. So.
Now, the other thing that's different when you run an ultra is, you know, typically you run into an exchange, you hand off to the next runner.
Yeah.
When you're doing it as an ultra and you're doing the back-to-back, you're running into an exchange, essentially just giving them your number because somebody will check it off on a clipboard.
Yeah.
And then you have to head, you basically continue on to the next leg.
Yeah.
But then it's always hard to know where you're supposed to go, right?
Sometimes I got lucky myself because some of the exchanges, you know, like you run into it, you hand off to the next person and that next person just keeps going essentially, mm-hmm. right? But there's some where you actually have to turn into them and then you hand off to the next person and they have to turn back around and like backtrack or they have to go this way or that way or there's turns. So it can be tricky where you're like,
where do I go?
Plus you don't have the luxury of being, you know, like on a regular team. If you're next, you're there waiting at the exchange. And so you see all the runners before yeah. you and you're like, oh, okay, they went that way. They made a right. They made a left. You don't have that luxury because mm-hmm. you're just getting there. You have no idea what the people ahead of you have done. So, and even if you use your, you know, if you look at the leg maps that they have, it's not so specific on the exact exchange that you know, okay, I'm going to have to go into a parking lot and back out. You just know that it's at that area. Mm-hmm. So I got lucky that all three of mine were basically, I ran straight through.
That makes it easy.
I did ask though, like, which way? Because I didn't want to keep running. And they're like, oh, that's not even the course. So,
well, I mentioned it because I had always seen ultra runners or people doing it as an ultra team before that have that same reaction, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I'm team 150. Where do I go now? And,
right.
you know, it was always a bunch of people,
yeah.
you know, in unison that way, you know, follow,
right.
you know, straight or left or right or go back. It's always
go
such
back
a heartbreaker.
The way you came.
It's always
yeah.
such a heartbreaker when it's go back the way you came. Cause right. then it's, why did I have to run in here?
I know.
But you gotta get in there and check
off
your number.
Like, there's like 2 teammates that I think for every single one of theirs, it was like that. And so they're just like, oh, they'd like turn, like see down the street. And they're like, I'm going to have to run there and come right back out. I wish I could just keep going. So. And it is kind of cool, though, running through that middle exchange and just, you know, like, you know, they're yelling at your name. So, or not your name. They don't know your name. They're yelling at your bib number. So ours was 46. So, you know, they're like, 46, 46. And they're looking around. So the first time I came through, they're like, 46, you know, just yelling it out. They're looking around. And like the volunteer looks at me like kind of sad, like, I don't know, you know, and I'm like, no, I'm like, ultra, like, that's me. And she's like, no, I don't know. I'm like, no, that's me. I'm next. Which way? She's like, oh, that way. I'm like, okay. You know, but in a sense, it, I'll be honest, it does feel kind of cool, you know, to be like, oh, I'm an ultra, you know, I'm on an ultra team. I'm going to keep going. Like, that's me, you know, so.
I'm cool. I'm doing back to back.
Right. Yeah. Even though the other part of you is like, oh, I'm doing back to back because I'm only halfway through.
Well, it's so interesting because I haven't looked at the they always have a clipboard with all the team numbers to check off, but I actually haven't looked specifically at what that sheet looks like in several years.
Yeah.
So I don't know if now these days there's any notation on there whether a team is an ultra team or not. Because if they would
I caught a peek at one where we were in exchange for a long time waiting for somebody that slowed down on the run. And it looked like it just had the their team number, and then I think it had what time either they came in or they left. Okay. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah, I guess once it, well, but then I would say you can make that note on there, but then again, you don't know whether the teams are doing the back-to-back legs or not.
That's
so
true.
I guess it wouldn't have any benefit to kind of make that notation anyway. So never mind. I thought I had an awesome suggestion, but just forget about that completely.
Right.
All right, let's move on.
Okay. Where was I? Talking about my night run?
Yeah, sometime in the middle of the night.
Okay. So it was just after midnight. It was colder than it was during the day, but not too bad. Ran with my buff and used it, I think, most of the time just because of like that cool air, and I was hoping I wouldn't have to use my inhaler. So I used that and ran through Henderson. So a lot of like residential area, somewhat close to Green Valley Ranch property, because I kept seeing the sign over and over and over again, not the casino itself. And I could actually see the strip at night, you know, like in a distance. So I could see it over there, but, you know, wasn't running anywhere close to it. And it was pretty well lit. It probably was one of my best lit night Ragnar legs that I've ever done. Mm-hmm. You know, I was out there running and I'm like, what's my headlamp doing? I haven't even been using the light. I mean, it's on, mm-hmm. but I hadn't even like tilted it to where I needed it because it had been so bright because there was just all these street lights and lights just, you know, lining the sidewalks. That was pretty cool. Just the last little section, I think, where we were cutting through some little like bike paths, then it was a bit darker. So, it was nice running through a better lit area. Mm-hmm. At night. It was pretty lonely out there not necessarily runners. I mean, I saw a few runners, but just people in general. Well, I guess who's going to be out there at 1 a.m, but then again, it is Vegas.
But so, I mean, you're not running on this trip.
Exactly.
Well,
so,
I mean, I guess it's worth mentioning that we think Vegas was 300 something teams.
Yeah, it was. High 300s.
So versus Napa, which we think clicked over 500.
Mm-hmm.
So there was definitely less people out running Vegas. So
right.
It would certainly feel lonelier.
Yeah.
I mean, not lonely, but I mean, less people than,
right.
than what you just had.
Less,
you
know, crowded.
Right before at Napa.
Yeah.
Or what we've seen at SoCal. So.
Right.
Which is actually, I think, a good thing. So.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yep. And then on my night leg, when I was getting close to that middle exchange where I wasn't going to stop, started having some tummy issues. Mm-hmm. My stomach was not happy. And I was like, all right. I'm like, I might actually have to, you know, stop and use a porta potty. At an exchange that I don't have to stop at, but if I got to do it, I got to do it. So, you know, came through the exchange and of course, you know, I asked the volunteers like, okay, I'm an ultra team, you know, where do I go? And they're like, oh, keep going straight and just make a right past the porta potties. I'm like, perfect. They're actually like right on my route. Cause sometimes at these exchanges, they can be like way on the other side
back
of like
of
the parking lot and or on the other side of the building or, you know, that sort of thing. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. So just hopped in, hopped out real quick. And then, they actually had quite a few volunteers lining like the next like quarter of a mile, making sure you didn't miss a turn. So that was really nice. They're like, okay, turn right and then keep going until you see the next guy. Okay, make a left and then go across the bridge. So it made me think, I wonder if people had gotten lost earlier in the day or if that's just how they had decided to space out their volunteers. But that was really nice. And finished up my 11.2 miles. That's what it was at nighttime.
At night.
Yeah, that actually ended up being my fastest run. Despite the porta, including the porta potty break. So I guess nighttime, I just sometimes tend to run faster. Not necessarily, I don't know if it's weather or I don't know.
I think that's the case for a lot of people. You're also less distracted too.
That's true. Oh, and I had no stoplights there. Whereas during the day, both the times, stoplights were kind of ridiculous. I guess most of the stoplights in Vegas or around Vegas, one of the locals was telling us it's a minimum 2 minute wait, mm-hmm. if you get stuck at a red light. So yeah. Anyways. So yeah, I didn't even think about that. I didn't have any stoplights to worry about at night, really. So, so finished up and handed off to the next runner and, was going to try to get some sleep because at this point it was like 2 something in the morning and I wasn't going to have to run again for like another 10, 12 hours. So I'm like, all right, here's my chance to sleep. So, I think I ate like a banana or something, you know, and tried to drink before I went to bed. I'll call it bed, but, you know, to go to sleep. And I was falling asleep and I was kind of in and out of sleep because my stomach was starting to cramp, you know, like just like.
Now, were you lying down on one of the bench seats in the van? Okay.
Yeah, lying down on one of the bench seats in the van. And I was just like, my stomach was just not feeling good. And I'm just like, oh my God, you know, and I start to fall asleep and then start cramping again. And I was like, ah, so I keep waking up. So, you know, it's pretty miserable when you're tired. You just ran, you know, two legs and you're trying to sleep, but this keeps waking you up. So you have all this like interrupted sleep. Plus my stomach was hurting. And I was like, what's going to happen for my third leg? You know, am I going to be able to run it? What am I going to do? So I was already trying to think like, how am I going to do this? You know, my third leg was the longest, actually 11.9 miles. And so I was like, you know, if I, with regular teams, if you have a 5 mile or a 4 mile and you end up walking it, okay, that's only going to take you a certain amount of time. If I have to walk 11.9 miles, that's going to be a long walk. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was starting to panic a little bit and, you know, I was just not feeling well. And everybody's like, oh, you know, do you want this? Do you want this? We have that. And I'm like, no. So one of the teammates is like, well, if it makes you feel any better, he said, I felt horrible right after my last leg and I felt okay for the next one. I'm like, God, I hope that happens to me, but I wasn't too confident about it. So I was pretty bummed out and I was kind of freaking out because I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it, you know, 11.9 mm-hmm. miles. And that was broken up into the first half of it was going to be 4.1 miles, which was, I think, rated as like moderate, like, so there wasn't, you know, anything major there. But the second half was 7.8 miles and it was a gradual uphill, which nothing steep, but I'm like, okay, that's gonna be like probably the hardest part of my entire, you know, Ragnar Vegas running experience. Mm-hmm. So I was freaking out a little bit, but nothing you could really do at that point is other than try to avoid things that are going to irritate your stomach even more. And I think it was probably the couple of slices of pizza that I had. I've had pizza before at Ragnar's, but I think it was just the type that it was. It was like all cheese, which I should have just stayed away from dairy. I mean, I know better. And there was a particular cheese that I wasn't familiar with. I don't know. So, I mean, I don't think like that the pizza was bad. I think it just wasn't what I should have eaten at the time. So,
well, I always say that Ragnar is tough with just the whole eating and the weird hours. And it just ends up being, you know, odd running at odd times. It's just tough on the stomach in a whole lot of ways.
Yeah.
But that's part of the fun.
Yeah. I mean, so I just tried to like hydrate as much as I could, nibbled on, you know, some pretty benign things like bananas and crackers and that sort of thing. Somebody had like Chips Ahoy cookies, which Ooh. Seemed to sit well, I thought. So I was like, okay, I'll just have some of those.
Were they the Chips Ahoy Chewies?
No, they were the good ones, the non-chewy.
I like the chewy.
I don't like the chewy ones. Anyways, so, at this point, people are...
Which, I'm going to go on a random thought.
Yeah.
They also have Chips Ahoy oatmeal, right? Or something like that?
The chewy oatmeal.
They do, right?
Yeah.
Okay, biggest disappointment ever. You go to the grocery store to get some Chips Ahoy chewy and you get home and it's the oatmeal one.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
And the packages look exactly the same, except for that one word that says oatmeal.
So I'm obviously speaking from experience. Okay, go ahead.
Right. That's so funny. So we at some point, I can't remember because it's all fuzzy, but at some point we did end up running by, or I didn't run, I was in a van, but the other runners were running by Red Rock Canyon, which was pretty beautiful. Mm-hmm. I guess that would have been Friday night because that was before my night run. See, I got all confused. So we could see like the sun setting, you know, up against the Red Rock. So that was pretty cool. So we stopped at the park there and, you know, took pictures and just enjoyed it. So that was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. That would have been nice to run that leg. Oh, that was the same person that ran all the downhill at the beginning that, you know, who's, yeah.
I would have loved that, actually.
Whose toes took a beating. I'll just leave it like that. So, but come Saturday morning, you know, I'm just trying to nurse my stomach and hoping that it'll hold. And we were able to run by Lake Mead. Mm-hmm. So we entered Lake Mead area and saw the sun come up, the sunrise up against Lake Mead. So that was really pretty too. I think if I hadn't been feeling so horrible, I would have enjoyed it even more. But I still, like, you know, got out the van and took the pictures and it was pretty cool. So people were commenting on how low the water level was. So that was kind of sad. But I mean, coming from California doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, we're used to that.
Yeah, we're used to that. So heading into my third leg, you know, that I think I ended up starting like at 2 something in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So I think originally I was going to be running like at 4:45 or 4:30 or something. So again, I was happy that it was going to be earlier in the day. And we had already tried to come up with ways to have people take my 4.1 miles, you know, and then I would just run the 7.8. And so we were trying to figure out a way to, you know, for somebody to take some of my mileage. But when it came down to it, everybody was pretty tired and done, you know, with me being the last runner, like, okay, I'm like the freshest one here. Right. So I just told them, you know, I'll give it a try. I'll do my best. You know, I have my phone with me, so I'll text you guys. And if it's really bad, somebody's going to have to jump out the van and finish it, you know, because if I can't, I can't. So I was hoping that wasn't the case, but we knew that that was going to be possible. So yeah, I started off on my last leg and definitely ran that one the slowest. I purposely started off slow because I know when I run faster, that's when I tend to have more stomach problems. So I'm like, let me not, you know,
make this worse.
Yeah. Excuse me. So I'm like, let me just start off slow and see what happens. So one of the things I didn't mention is you can provide aid to your runners at various spots, right, along the course, just like with any other Ragnar. So unless there's their legs that are non-supported or like the van, it's not safe for the van to pull over and you can provide aid. And what some teams do as well, if they're ultra teams, is that they'll go to those in-between exchanges that we were talking about that you essentially just run through. Mm-hmm. In case you need aid, you can do that. So for us specifically as a team, we would check with everybody before it was their turn. Like, where do you need support? What do you need? You know, would you want us to stop here or there? And I think we maybe 3 or 4 times at the most provided aid to a runner. And it typically wasn't at that middle exchange. It would be like just before or just after, because it can get pretty chaotic.
Yeah.
At some of those exchanges. So if you can avoid them, then yeah, it's better.
I mean, being an ultra team, if you don't have to go to that exchange, why would you?
Yeah.
You know, park half mile before, half right. mile after, so much easier.
Yeah. And that's what we did at one specifically at night, is we went, I think, like half a mile past the exchange, and just off the side of the road there was a perfect spot. So we just provided aid to our runner there. But other than that, the rest of the time, everybody was like, nope, just
pretty independent.
Yeah. Meet me at the,
basically,
at
CA,
the end. You know? That's what we would say. Meet me at the end, essentially, which is the end of their run. So we would just head over to the next, not the next one. Yeah. The next, there you go. Yeah. I'm like, how do I even phrase that? Yeah. The next handoff. So yeah, we were all pretty independent. We all had some sort of hydration pack or belt with us, mm-hmm. and obviously whatever nutrition we needed. And for the most part, with very few exceptions, we always ran with our phones. So just in case, and we, for the most part, were pretty good at guesstimating how long we thought it would take us to run those next miles. So, yeah, that's just something I wanted to mention about providing aid. So, because one of the things I thought about when I was reflecting back about like running it as an ultra or not, and maybe I should leave this for the end, but I was thinking, oh, as an ultra team, you actually get to see the whole course, right? Because you're not like missing these exchanges. And I'm like, oh, but actually we didn't go into a lot of exchanges, like half of the exchanges that, you know, all the in-between ones we didn't go into. I'm like, so maybe we didn't get to see more of the course. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you're definitely
seeing more.
I mean, you're still driving a ton of the course,
right,
compared
right.
to what you would do as a normal team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, missing an exchange, I don't think you're really missing anything.
Right.
You know, exchanges tend to be basically at parking lots.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You know, so I don't think you're missing anything in a lot of those. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that is an advantage of the ultra team, is that, hey, you're traveling the entire course.
Right.
So you're not missing out on anything.
Yep. So, I mean, I pretty much know the entire Ragnar Las Vegas course. And I didn't necessarily run on it all, but like you said, I was either running or driving next to it, mm-hmm. or close to it. Yeah. So that's one of the advantages, is that you get to see it all versus like, oh, okay, well, this year I was van one, so next year I want to be van two. And you kind of get to see the whole area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, back to my third
tough finish.
My finish. Yeah. So, got through the 4.1 miles. Okay. Stomach was holding on all right. I think the biggest issue was just like, okay, I was tired. Well, duh. You know, you haven't really slept in, I don't know, 36 hours, and you've already run 20 plus miles, you know, so, you know, that's expected to be tired. Plus I hadn't eaten a whole lot that day because I was so scared about like what my stomach was going to do, that I think I was just kind of under fueled, mm-hmm. you know, going into it. So I think that also made me feel a little bit more tired. But I know, I just remember when I was running and I was just getting tired. I'm like, oh, should I walk? And I kept kind of just doing a check, and I'm like, okay, like my stomach, nope, that's fine. It's not giving me issues. And I'm like, my breathing, nope, that's good. You know, I'm not like super labored or anything. I'm like, my legs actually felt totally fine. And I'm like, I just feel really tired. And I'm like, okay, well, you're supposed to feel tired. So just keep going.
That's exactly
like, yeah, correct. Like you're fine. Just keep going.
You nailed it.
Exactly. So got the 4.1 miles done and then started heading uphill for the remainder. It was going to be a slow or a gradual, you know, climb for the majority of that. And then the last little section was going to be running into the finish for at Red Rock Casino. So I was looking forward to that. Ended up passing a lot of people on that 7.8 miles. People were just done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people walking. Just, they were tired.
That tends to happen at the end of a
red
run.
It
tends to be a lot of carnage out there on the last, you know, five legs of the race.
Definitely. A lot of people were just so done. So I, you know, tried to give words of encouragement for them. But then also if I'm like encouraging somebody else, it makes me feel better in a way, you know, kind of lifts your spirits too, because you're being positive and that sort of thing. So got to the 1 mile to go sign and I'm like, yes, thank God. So somebody had just gotten there and was trying to take a selfie and she was kind of having trouble. And I'm like, here, let me just take your picture. You know, and she's like, okay. You know, just took a picture, kept going. There was like two major light crossings before heading over to Red Rock Casino, and they did have volunteers at a lot of the major light crossings, and I don't know how much of that is to make sure that we didn't like just try to run through the light. For safety reasons, obviously, but just to like, hey, don't try it type thing. So, and they were always really encouraging too. So, you know, they're at the second to last light. She's like, okay, just this tiny little uphill, and then, you know, it's all a straight shot to Red Rock. You know, and a couple of us look over and you can see like the slight hill. And I'm like, is that the uphill you're talking about? I'm like, or is there another one? She's like, nope, that's it. I'm like, okay, just making sure. Cause if that one doesn't count, I don't want to know what the uphill looks like. So yeah, I started feeling really good. Like in the last mile, I think just cause I knew it was so close, picked up the pace a little bit. There wasn't a whole lot of signage going towards Red Rock, but I could see. I could see it. So I knew it was headed in the right direction, but they could have used a smidge more. You know, just a smidge more. But I was looking at, you know, Red Rock Casino. I'm like, I know I'm heading in the right direction. So even if I'm a little bit off course, which I wasn't, I just got to keep running towards it and look for the finisher area.
If you got lost, you could always just run to the casino.
Exactly.
So you'd be good.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm on the other side.
Although,
somebody
granted,
come get me.
I've never been to Red Rock, so I don't know how big it is. But, you know, there's definitely casinos in Vegas that even once you get to the casino, you could be running around forever just around one casino. So
that's true. Yeah. That could have happened here. Yeah. So yeah, made a left turn into like, it seemed like a pretty short finisher shoot, but comparing it to Napa, I guess that's just what it is. It's not this long drawn out thing. So I had texted my teammates at 1 mile to go and they're like, okay, we're by the arch. We're waiting for you. So, you know, met up with them and they told me, you know, the one rule about being the last runner is you have to slow down when we get to that part. One of the other teammates, they said that he was no longer, going to be allowed to be the last runner because whenever he finished, he like just sprinted straight through. And you know, everybody else is like kind of hobbling behind. So I got there, I saw them, got some high fives, which I thought was pretty cool. And, I thought I slowed down like a lot. Right. But you know, you've been running for almost 12 miles. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, so it's all relative and they're like, slow down. And I like look back and I'm like, so I literally just like stopped, you know, and like just waited and then just, kind of, you know, just jogged across the finish line and yay, you know, we made it. And everybody's all excited and we get our medals and we get this Ragnar Vegas drink
cup
thing. Yeah, I don't even know how to describe it, but we get one of those.
Basically one of those
long
2 foot tall
yeah.
drink cups that you would have some nice liquor in when you're walking around.
They
the
see people walking
Vegas,
around with that straw. Yeah, so we got
one of those.
No,
there was nothing in it though.
There's nothing in it.
You just get the cup.
Yeah, and so we got one of those and
one of those for the whole team.
Oh yeah. One of those for the whole team. Which none of us had a problem turning over to the person who wanted it. So, so we did that. It
worked out.
Yeah. Took some team photos. One of our teammates actually had some friends there because they had spent a couple of days before the race, you know, enjoying Vegas and then they were going to be spending another day there. So they actually met us at the race and took a bunch of pictures, which was pretty cool. I didn't even know that they were there because I was out running, you know, and everybody was meeting them. So that was really cool. Got the official, you know, photo. It turns out that they were all pretty concerned that I was not going to be able to finish my third leg. I guess they were trying to like, you know, they were just waiting for me to text or call that I wasn't going to be able to do it because I guess I looked pretty miserable.
No faith.
Yeah. So they were pretty excited. One person actually like told me that and owned up to like, we were pretty worried about you. I'm like, okay, well, I'm glad I finished. So I don't know who would have been. I should have asked. So who was gonna be? Yeah, did you guys exactly have to like draw straws or what was the deal? What was gonna happen? Who's gonna have to do it? So, and yeah, the finish area was in the same area where the pre-race check-in was. So all along like the pools, which is pretty cool, you know, because there's several pools and like hot tubs and that sort of thing. The only thing is you got to be careful. Because if you're like walking around with teammates and having fun, like there's a pool right there. So if you just misstep, like you're in the pool. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of the funny thing that I've never had to look out for before.
Yeah.
You know, like don't fall in the pool that's right there. But, you know, they had things set up like within the cabanas, like they had the double medals, mm-hmm. which we talked about before, which if you run certain races or certain multiple Ragnars, I guess I should say, you can get a double medal. So Vegas actually has a couple of combinations that you can do. One of them is if you run Ragnar Vegas and any other Ragnar in the same year other than Wasatch Back, you get a Deuces Wild medal. So I was able to get that because I just did Napa. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to do anything additional other than I think you just have to use the same profile.
Yeah.
You know, to join the teams for the various races. So the other double medal that they have associated with Vegas is the Saints and Sinners. And that's if you do Ragnar Vegas and Ragnar Wasatch Back in the same year. So some people were lined up for that. There wasn't a whole lot of signage. So you just saw people like
lining up.
And so you go, you're like, what's this line for? So, and unfortunately, I think they did not have the number of medals that they needed for the Saints and Sinners. So they were going to be mailing those out, but they did have plenty for the Deuces Wild and I was able to get mine. So I was pretty stoked about that.
Yeah, right? And it's a cool medal.
Yeah.
And it's also, all the Ragnar medals are always bottle openers. So yep. That works out.
Yep. And then next booth over, that's what I'll call it, the next booth over, they had the, what's new for this year for Ragnar is their little connector pieces, mm-hmm. which basically they say you can create your own medal, essentially. So if you run two of the races and you get the two medals, you actually get a little connector piece that you connect both of those, you get to screw them on. And this one for two, it says double vision. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, when you run like four races and you get another connector piece, when you run six races, so every two beyond that, you get another connector piece. So you can build kind of this, just a bunch of double medals, essentially.
It's actually really cool. The little connector piece, the way it connects. I mean, the only thing is that when you're connecting them, you're connecting the bottom of each medal to each other.
Yeah. So one of them's like upside down.
One's always going to be upside down, but it's pretty cool. Just a little additional thing, you know, for those that do two of them.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, the little connector, depending on how many you do, is different. So it's, you know, if you want to chase medals, it's kind of a cool little extra incentive.
Yeah. The other thing that I think would be cool to do in the future, aside from what you said, like if there was a way to have them all be right side up, is if there was a way, because you can connect these two and then you can connect your next two, but you can't necessarily connect those two to these two, right?
Right.
So if there's a way to just connect them, like if you ran 10,
connect them all.
So you had like 10 all like in one big medal.
One long.
Yeah.
So you'd have a medal that's maybe, let's say this is what, maybe 3 inches wide and ends up being, you know, 5 feet long.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That would be cool. I mean, there's not going to be, I don't know. I was going to say there's not going to be tons of people that run 10 Ragnars. I have no idea how many people do that.
Well, but I mean, the interesting thing I don't think we've ever mentioned is they actually do also have what they call the Immortal Medal.
Yeah.
Which is if you do every Ragnar road race in a year, you get the Immortal Medal, which I've never seen one in person.
I haven't either.
But they say it's basically, I think it's 15 inches from corner to corner. So just
that
a little bit
big.
Over a square foot.
That seems big.
So
where do you put that?
I don't know. Around your neck for at least a month. No, you don't take that. I would take that to work. That'd be awesome.
You wear that around your
neck? Sure, why not? 15 inch medal?
Make a belt buckle out of it?
That's way too big. Okay. You'd never be able to sit down.
I didn't even think about that.
But yeah, but that is an option. I mean, you got to be pretty dedicated and pretty crazy and have a lot of free time to kind of do every Ragnar in the same year. And I think they actually have some races that are on the same weekend, which you only have to do one of them, obviously. That'd be crazy to make you, I don't know how you would do two at the same time. But
yeah,
I just want to throw that out in case you're crazy and really want to chase a huge medal.
So. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, the connectors are really
cool. Yeah. Yep. I mean, of course, you know, pre-race check-in and finish area, they have all, you know, the booths with the sponsors and everything. Mm-hmm. And so that's all there if you want to check those out. You know, and with it being the finish at Red Rock Casino, I mean, the doors to go into the casino are not that far away. So, you know, they have tons of restaurants there. Of course, you can gamble and, you know, bars and that sort of thing. So it's kind of nice. You could just, like, if you want, essentially go from finishing your race to celebrating, however mm-hmm. it is that you do that. So,
yeah, I mean, I will say Vegas is one of the Ragnars that I really have wanted to do for a long time. And for me, part of the attraction is the not only the finish line at Red Rock, but you right. actually basically pass Red Rock at Exchange 12 is across the street or right there, basically.
Yeah, that's the one that I ran into. Yeah.
But having the finish line right at Red Rock Casino, this pretty cool casino and has pools. It to me, it's super cool to be able to just finish the race. You know, I'd be coming from out of town. Obviously, I'm in California, so probably get a hotel room there. So it's basically mm-hmm. you finish the race, you hang out for a bit. You're not in a rush because you're not driving anywhere. Go up to your room, take your shower, and then basically go out for your big team dinner mm-hmm. and go drinking afterwards and do some gambling that night. And it just seems like it would be an awesome finish line experience just yeah. to be able to do that and not have to hop in a car. And, you know, we do Napa all the time, but it's always hop in the car and have a long drive home.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, it seems weird to Napa's so close to us, it seems weird to get a hotel room right at the right. finish when you can drive home.
Exactly.
So, and you know, what better place to kind of hang out with your team and kind of celebrate the run than Vegas, you know?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, Vegas just in general makes a great location to kind of get away for a race. And,
yep.
You know, you could probably stay the night you finish the race, stay there. And then if you want to, you know, maybe the next day head over to the strip or, you know, whatever you want to do in Vegas.
Yeah. It's really easy to make
a
vacation
a
out of yep. it. Yeah. I mean, if you literally just want to pop in and pop out for the race, fine. But it's easy to add on one day or even two to make it a little vacation, yeah. a little mini vacation.
And then the thing I always thought about was, you know, if you're going to stay at Red Rock the night before the race, so that would be Thursday night, right? Mm-hmm. So it's always an interesting question. If you're doing it as a regular team, it might make sense to keep your hotel room.
For Friday night,
yeah. even though you're really not going to sleep there, just because Exchange 12 is basically there again.
Yeah.
So teams could basically, you know, you can go take a shower in your hotel room. Mm-hmm. After
go change,
you know,
do
whatever.
You don't have to take all of your stuff with you either.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's super convenient basically to be running through the same location.
Yeah.
I mean, you're kind of spending the money for a hotel room that you're only going to use for a slight bit of time, but might be worth that versus packing all of your stuff and taking right. everything with you. So that's part of the attraction that I've always wanted to do in Vegas.
Yeah, and it didn't.
In addition to the scenery and,
right.
you know, not, you know, it's not 500 teams. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it didn't make sense for us as an ultra team to keep the hotel room Friday night.
Right.
But we did stay there the night before. And then we did stay there Saturday night after the race. And that worked out really well because they essentially checked in while I was running, you know, unloaded our van when I was running. So that was nice. I got out of yeah. that. So. And then, you know, afterwards, it was, you know, celebratory dinner and drinks. And we're such party animals that we went back to the room and like, you know, got cleaned up and were in bed by like 8:30. Mm-hmm. So
that's crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. But we were like done. So, but then of course we were all up at like 5:30 in the morning because we slept at 8:30. And so we're just all up like, okay. Can't really like sleep anymore.
I mean, I might have taken a nap for 2 hours, but then I definitely would have gone yeah. back out. So.
Well, I think if the group consensus would have been to do that, I would have been in.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, I'm in Vegas. You know, it's fine. I'm done running. If I'm going home, like, I mean, I'm not a big drinker, so I wouldn't be hungover. But if I'm going home and tired and falling asleep on the airplane, I'm okay with that. Right. You know, but was not going to party by myself. So, yeah. So, I think just some interesting things to talk about that you mentioned with, you know, doing Vegas is that you do have that opportunity for like the casino, you know, staying there before and after, or I say the hotel really, definitely can make, a little mini vacation out of it. And there's plenty of things to check out in Vegas, especially if you haven't had the opportunity to be there. Cause one of our teammates had literally not spent any time in Vegas other than like a hotel room one night on her way to someplace.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a good opportunity to be able to check it out if you haven't before. You do get to see some areas in and around Vegas that you wouldn't normally if you're just flying in to go into the strip. So you get to see the ski resort that most people don't even know exist unless you're doing Ragnar Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Red Rock Canyon, Lake Mead, you know, so that's pretty cool to be able to see all of that. Again, as an ultra team, if you do it that way, then you get to see a lot of the course. So that's nice too. If you think you're only going to make it down there for Ragnar once, do it as an ultra.
Right.
And you get to see most of the course. So that's one good thing about doing it as an ultra too, is that you get to see most of the course. The other thing that I think is kind of nice too is that for a lot of us, if we're used to running a lot of mileage, you know, once you're like for my 4.1 miles and my 7.8, okay, 4.1 miles. I feel like I'm just kind of starting to get warmed up. Mm-hmm. You know, like we've talked about that before, like on long runs, like you don't really feel good until like mile 5 or 6 or something like that. I think we've talked about it before. So it's kind of nice that in a sense, you know, I was running 4.1 and that would have been just a regular leg distance for somebody, but then I still have more mileage. So I felt like I had, okay, I'm just getting warmed up and I get to keep running versus, oh, I'm done. You definitely get more mileage for your buck. Instead of bang for your buck, you get more mileage for your buck. Mm-hmm. So you get more running out of it as an ultra.
I mean, I know a lot of people that do Ragnars as ultras because they're traveling to the race, and for them, it wouldn't necessarily be worth traveling across the country or to some far off location. Excuse me, losing my voice. To go and run, you know, if you're that runner that ends up on a regular team running 12.7 miles, mm-hmm. it's not necessarily worth it for a lot of people,
right?
To travel across the country and pay for a hotel and van and gas and all that stuff just to run 12 miles.
Right.
So I know that's why a lot of people that I've talked to choose to do it as an ultra team, just because, hey, I'm running, you know, I'm going across the country and I'm spending all this money, but I'm getting to run 30 miles of this course.
Exactly.
So it makes it worth it for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yep. And then just a couple of tidbits from my experience alone is I actually only knew one person going into this team. I don't think mm-hmm. I mentioned that before.
No.
Which is not that unusual, I guess, for Ragnars. You know, you're not going to know everybody on your team. But yeah, it's a little leap of faith. You know, I know one person and ended up having a super great time just like a bunch of nice people and super supportive, really positive, all, you know, great runners. And there was like, you know, no drama. Everybody was just out there having a good time and supporting each other. And so worked out really well. So I was happy about that. You never know. You never going into a team event with people that you don't know.
I mean, you just don't know. You will be stuck with these people for 30 hours in a van.
Right.
So,
yeah. Literally.
I mean, you can be best friends with somebody and still drive them crazy 30 hours in a
van. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure there's things that I did that, you know, irritated them, but it, there was no major things, you know, mm-hmm. it was totally fine. So I had a good time. I don't think I have anything else. I was looking through my notes.
You pretty much covered it all. The one thing we didn't mention, because I was talking about the finish line at the casino and all that stuff. Even if you don't stay in the casino, you're actually allowed to use the pools after the race, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's one of the reasons years ago I always thought Vegas was super cool, because that exchange that's 12 or something that's at the casino, I thought you could use the pool there finish line. So even if you're not staying there or you're local, you can still like finish the race and just go hit the pools, which is kind of cool because, you know, what hotel in Vegas is going to let you come to use their pools if you're not a guest at the hotel? So kind of a little added cool bonus. And how fun would it be if you're doing it as a regular team and you got a couple hours off to just hang out. The pool in the middle of the day? That'd be awesome. So wanted to go back to that.
Now,
to mention
on the flip side of that, I would not recommend staying there on Ragnar weekend if you're not part of Ragnar event.
Well, that's
if you're planning to use the pools or anything like that, I wouldn't recommend it for that specific weekend.
Well, I mean, that's the case with any basic marathon, half marathon.
Right, that's true.
You know, the advice for traveling, if you're traveling and it's not because of a race, you might want to check just to make sure there's no race where you're going that weekend, because, you know, when runners come to town, we take over cities, mm-hmm. you know? So,
yep.
Yeah.
Oh, and I did get to keep the slap bracelet that we all handed off. Because I was the last runner through, so yeah, I washed it down pretty good because I went through like 33 hours of I don't even want to know. So
those bracelets always are just nasty, covered in sweat.
I want somebody to do one of those germ tests on them.
Oh, that would
you
not,
know where you no, swab no, it no, no, and then
that would not be good. I mean Napa was just a couple weeks ago. I remember the first run that I did and somebody slapped the bracelet on me and I was like, oh my, that is nasty.
So that happened every time this time. Like you just felt like this amount of like just wetness with it. And you're like, oh, that's juicy. Okay. All right. I hope as long as I don't get a rash on my arm, it's all good.
I'm surprised that hasn't happened.
But, yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of cool. Wash it, clean it. I mean, I think that's something a lot of teams do is just wet the last runner, keep it. So if you're the one that gets to finish it off, it's almost, I think, tradition with a lot of teams that you get to keep that bracelet. It's just another memento of the race, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, being the last runner, it was really cool being able to be the one to finish it, essentially. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. But I think just it was just killing me, like waiting to start my run. So, you know, to be the last one. So it's kind of a give and take there. So I think if you're somebody who doesn't get nervous or anxious like I do, you should do runner 12 for sure at some point. So yeah. Okay. I think next time I'll want to move up a bit though.
Mm-hmm.
In the running order.
Okay.
So I'm not the last runner.
Yeah. So, I mean, regarding Vegas, would you like to do Vegas again?
Yeah.
Would you like to do Vegas again as an ultra team?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you?
I was thinking about it. Well, I've been thinking about it the last couple of days. And I would rather do it as an ultra team than a regular team.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Even if you were going back to do it for a second time?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I would.
And if you could only do one Ragnar next year, would you rather do Napa or Vegas?
Vegas.
Okay. I mean, not quite a fair comparison just because we've done Napa 5 times.
Well, that's the thing. Once. Yeah. That's the thing. Oh, just some random things. Aside from my eating mishaps that I already mentioned, I didn't eat any other real food. So just so people know what I fueled on. While I was running, I basically just used Tailwind because I wanted to stick to just liquid calories because I was worried about my stomach. So that worked out really well.
Well, that's your go-to anyways.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. You know, I had water in between my runs, bananas, peanut butter jelly, crackers, and I think that's it, honestly. I think that's pretty much all I had, which I don't recommend running 32 miles on just that, but I didn't feel too bad. And I think because I ended up running each leg slower than what I would normally run if I had run them independently, like if I had just gone out for a 9 miler tomorrow or an 11.9 miler this weekend, you know, I'd be running that faster than what I did in Vegas. My legs were not sore at all. So I was thrilled about that. I wasn't doing like that hobble or anything, even the next day. And I was like, I'm like, the stairs are going to hurt. Nope. I mean, my feet felt a little tired and one of my toenails was a little bruised, but that was it. So,
well, that's pretty good considering you're kind of kicking off your LA marathon
training. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right.
Help my confidence there.
Anything else on Vegas?
No. I mean, hearing what I've said about it, either on and off the episode, what's your take on it? Like, does it make you want to do Vegas more or less, or just confirms that you want to do it?
I mean, it
no change.
It actually didn't change any of my preconceived notions about the race. I mean, I wanted to do it before, and
yeah.
I still actually really want to go do Vegas for the reasons that I kind of stated.
Yeah.
Mainly that make a weekend hangout post finish, you know, seems fun. And the course seems pretty cool. So, you know, I'm still very interested in going out there and doing it. The one question I had was, well, if I'm going to do it someday, do I want to do it as an ultra?
Or that was going to be my
question. As an ultra? And I think you made me more interested in doing it as an ultra.
Okay.
I mean, it's, you know, doing it as an ultra would be tougher for me, for you, just more mileage. You run more mileage than me in general. So, but I mean, I asked you, I said, hey, do you think I could do it as an ultra? And you said, yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. All right. You know, maybe someday I'll tackle that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious, like from that, from your perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. From hearing about it and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the last, can I mention the Ragnar video?
Oh yeah. Go ahead.
So they always do an official. Or I guess they usually do an official video after the race with kind of the footage that they take and stuff during the race. And
yeah.
So if you happen to go look at, for some reason, if you go check out their official video, it's actually a good way to kind of get a feel for
maybe
the race.
We'll try to link to it if we can.
Yeah. Even more. Yeah. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Okay.
You know, it gives you even a better feel than just looking at still pictures. But if you keep your eyes open towards the end of the video.
Mm-hmm. At about 1:52.
She actually knows the spot. you'll actually be in the video. It's just your back, though.
Yeah.
But it's you coming in
to
the finish.
It's me with my Nathan Pack. And
yeah.
And I have my Embrace Running shirt underneath it that you can't really tell because I have my Nathan Pack on. Which, by the way, that's what I used for all three legs. But yeah.
So, yeah, you're in
with
the video.
With my teammate there, couple of teammates off there to the side.
Getting some high fives at the finish line. So that was kind of cool. I think you've been in one or two other.
This is my
video.
Third one. I'm so excited, even though it's only for like a couple seconds. I was in like Trail Tahoe for like a second, and then Colorado for a little bit. Although nobody believed it was me because it's like from way high up. But I'm like, that's me. That's my.
Oh, it was one of the aerial ones, right?
Yeah. I'm like, I know that's me. That's my weird like running limp thing. Yeah. So, anyways.
And that's not been anything special. It's just been random luck.
Well, it's funny because like they had released or published the Vegas one and. I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch this. And I'm like, maybe I'll be in it. You know, I'm just joking. And then like, we're watching it together. And I'm like, oh, that's me. Yeah. So just pure chance.
Well, it's the way our luck goes. You know, I go do Ragnar Napa. I don't even see an official photographer basically out there the entire team.
Right?
I don't have a single picture of me. I was the only person on our team from Napa that does not have an official picture from the race.
Yeah.
And then you do a race and you get the pictures and you get in the video.
Right.
And
Yeah. We did have a teammate on our Vegas team that doesn't have any pictures
at all.
Yeah. Our first runner. He has no pictures. The rest of us have some, not tons, but the rest of us have some.
Yeah. So. Napa had nothing. I was like, what?
Yeah.
It's not fair, but that's the way it goes. All right. We wishing anybody good luck
Yes, we're going to wish Karen good luck at Beat the Blurch this weekend.
She's going to try to beat the Blurch. Mm-hmm. We're going to be at the same race, so we'll try to beat the Blurch. We'll try to beat Karen, too. See how that goes.
I don't know. Those cupcakes might slow me down.
All right, let's get to a little bit of feedback before we get out of here.
Incoming message.
So we heard from Forbes, who ran R&R Philadelphia. He said the race is usually in September, but it was actually moved due to the Pope's visit that month. So
Pope's messing with running. What's going on there?
He said the weather was great this fall, and it's been beautiful in the Philly area. Of course, goes through Center City and then out and back along the river to the Art Museum with the famed Rocky Steps. And even though the course didn't go along the Rocky Steps, people were diverting to go up and down the Rocky Steps if they wanted to. So there was some of that happening.
We're talking about like Rocky the movie.
Oh,
not,
yeah, yeah.
Not like Rocky
right.
Steps.
Right, like rocks. No,
Rocky
like
Balboa.
Rocky the movie. Right. Thanks for clarifying that. He said he had a really good run, was on pace for a PR, but got calf cramps at about mile 12. So he had to stop and stretch a little bit. Then he did get his second fastest time despite that, though, in 156.40. So that's awesome. He said his friends also commented on what good race it was. He sent us a picture of the medal and then also shared a picture of a bunch of runners dressed as Waldo, which I thought was pretty funny. I don't know if it was at the start or the finish. That must have been the finish area because it was a pretty sunny. So
yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, it was a bunch of them dressed as Waldo. So yeah. Heard from Emmanuel, who had mentioned that on our last episode, we had talked about shoes, and it got him wondering when is it a good time to change his sneakers. So he got his sneakers back in January and he's put over 1,000 miles on him, so he's wondering, is it time to change, even if he feels like they are just fine?
1,000 miles is a lot of miles. So when we got the message, first thing I said was, whoa, that's a lot of miles. Although you actually had a teammate on your...
One of our fastest people on our team
had
over 2,000.
Which is insane.
Yeah, and he's planning to use those for LA Marathon, actually. Because he said he's not having any injuries, they're not bothering him, they're still in one piece.
So. Yes. I mean, typically the norm, most people would go by the rule is replace your shoes somewhere between 300 and 600 miles. Everybody's a little different.
Right.
Every shoe is a little bit different. I know, like, for me personally, I'm super hard on my shoes because of the way my heel strike is. So shoes don't last a long time with me.
Yeah.
But 1,000 miles is a lot. And, you know, when you're wearing the same shoes all the time and you put a lot of miles in them, you don't seem to notice the breakdown of the cushioning in the shoe.
That is true.
And so if it's 1,000 miles, it might be a good time, or might have been a good time 2 months ago, to get a new pair of shoes. If nothing else, if you're cool with the exact same model of shoe, if you do that and you start rotating those in, sometimes you'll definitely notice the difference between that brand new shoe and that shoe that has 1,000 miles. I think it's a lot of times when people do that, they really go, oh, I didn't notice.
Because you notice a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that before.
If you're switching to a different model or different brand of shoe, you're not going to notice that as easily, but you still might notice a big difference in the cushioning. So at the very least, it's time to start thinking about... No, I think it's time to start shopping for some new shoes, probably.
Yeah.
Don't wait till you get injured, because then it will
be too... I'm glad you haven't gotten injured, but it's... I mean, with 1,000 miles, I think regardless of the type of shoe and your form and all of that, it's probably a good time to get some new ones.
Yeah.
And at least start rotating them through, if not.
With shoes now these days, you know, you look at them, they look fine.
Right.
You don't notice it. The uppers that they have now these days on shoes, some of them will last forever.
Right.
Versus years ago, you can kind of see the breakdown, not only of the soles and
the tread, too.
But the uppers start to break down. So it ends up, used to be a much brighter signal that you need new shoes. But now these days, a lot of these things just, they can look fantastic for 1,000 miles. But truthfully, they are breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. I was trying to think of something to add, but you covered it pretty well. So we had also mentioned, I don't remember if it was last time or the time before, that we'll be heading over to London next March. And so we were, you know, looking for some possible suggestions on races on the particular week we're going to be there. So we have heard from a couple of people on some suggestions. So we're going to be looking into those, and we appreciate the information and anybody else that has information for us on that.
Yeah.
Would be appreciated.
Thanks for the info, because... Yeah. For us, finding stuff in London in terms of racing is I'd say it's a whole different world, but it's not. It's just a whole different
It's a whole different country.
Yeah. But yeah, or if you have just any suggestions in general for our visit to London.
Yeah, even non-related, I mean, non-running related things. Yeah. If there's any tips or anything that you think, or any hidden gems or something that we should definitely go check out. So, and then we also heard from Thomas today, actually. He got his Embrace Running shirt today, and he shared a picture of it, said it's new running shirt day. I think that should be an official day, new running shirt day. I like the sound of that. So enjoy the shirt.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're guaranteed to run faster from now on. Let me add all my caveats. 1, 2, 3, right. Just like the Huntsville Marathon.
Only if you have run within 10 minutes.
But truthfully, yeah. I don't guarantee that you will run faster. Right. But, you know, you will have more fun though. All right. I guess that's going to do it for this week. Like we mentioned, we're racing this coming weekend. We're doing that Beat the Porch out in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
Kind of something different, something unique.
Yep.
And so on the next episode, we'll kind of cover that and share that experience. I think both of us are going to go out there and just kind of run it for fun. And,
yeah, absolutely. And
maybe take lots of pictures, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Maybe eat some cupcakes along the way.
Maybe.
Maybe take a break on a couch. I don't know. You told me something. There's going to be couches.
Yeah, it's supposed to be couches. Weird.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.